The world's biggest AI conversation is happening right now without India in the room. 1.4 billion people. This is a big sovereign AI bet and sitting on a 5,000-year-old philosophy of mind. Today's guest sits inside all three. And Tushar Kansal is a VC from India. I've interviewed him about 5 years ago. So we've got a lot to talk about. I know you want to sort of introduce yourself a little bit and tell me what's been happening since we spoke before.
Sure. Thank you. It's been, I think, 5+ years when we spoke last, and we had a great conversation, I remember, at that time as well. I am a founder and CEO of Consultancy Ventures. We are a venture capital firm with a network of investors which ranges from 1,700 international and investors based out of Singapore, by US, UK, India. We also invest in IPOs, and I'm a venture partner with a Canadian venture capital fund and a US-based angel fund. I was taken as a financial influencer on the board of a solar company, GP Eco Solutions, before its IPO. And the $4 million IPO got IPO bids of $2 billion. So we have done more than 1,000 talks and events over the last 10 years, and all of them are available in the public domain. Happy to discuss and have a great conversation with you about AI and all the aspects around.
Fantastic. I'm really pleased you joined me. I mean, I think it's very timely considering what's going on right now. We've got all these wars going on. And, you know, India, like most of these countries, in fact, has decided it won't borrow its intelligence from America or China, and it's building its own, right? So, you know, let's start with the ordinary Indian, right, who's probably never heard the word of AI. What is it going to do for them in their lives? Is it going to help them, do you think? Or
Indians are the biggest users of AI. Almost 100 million Indians are using ChatGPT. 20% of ChatGPT's users come from India. Almost 800,000 AI engineers come out of India every year. And the good ones, they leave for US and, you know, places where foundational AI is taking shape. But India is definitely having a lot of talent in AI as well. What the government is doing is that the government has launched the India AI mission. So, you know, just like we make our own rockets, we make our own satellites. So they have kept aside a budget for creating our own AI infrastructure, which means that the semiconductors, the GPUs, and also it has to be available in many Indian languages, because although we have 23, 24 official languages, but there are more than 700 unofficial languages. So Sarvam AI is the model which the government has budgeted for. And the model has already created an initial working model, which works in most of the Indian languages. So it is across languages. So that is something which is very important for the Indian government. Also, there are 140 million small farms in India. The land holdings are very small. So the farmers, they have very small land. So, you know, it's very difficult to get them to adopt something on a massive scale, because you have to reach out to them individually, which is a very long process. But the government is definitely pushing AI towards agriculture as well. And one of the biggest underlying infrastructure which is benefiting the adoption of AI is the digital rails, which means that there is biometric database of all the Indians. It is called Aadhaar. Then you have a digital payment solution system, which is facilitated by an agency of the government. So India ranks number one in digital payments. So, you know, it just shows that the adoption of technology goes really deep and it goes really far. So, you know, a village doctor or a teacher in a village or a small business, they can all look forward to eventually adopting artificial intelligence. Now, the flip side is that you know, these underlying foundational infrastructure in AI is very costly, the way US is doing it, which means very heavy data centers. They consume a lot of electricity. They cost a lot. And, you know, the data sets cost a lot. And the semiconductors and GPUs, they cost a lot. So, you know, the kind of investment which is the US is putting, it is practically not possible, I think, for the Indian government to take a bet like that in the short term.
Yeah. I mean, they're investing a huge amount of money.
Mindless.
Ridiculous. I think it's $289 billion from what I was reading earlier, which is obscene. Excuse me.
It is. And, you know, the thing is that once recently in the last 2 weeks, Oracle let go of 30,000 employees and it said that it is diverting money towards the AI infrastructure. And that is why they are letting go of employees. And the Oracle share price has fallen by 58% from its high.
Wow.
So the market is worried. Market is worried that what these few companies like NVIDIA, Google, Microsoft, OpenAI, Oracle, what these guys are doing amongst themselves, the market is worried a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we've got big investment from Google into Anthropic, right? And I know we talked a little bit about Anthropic and this agreement that they weren't going to work with the government in defense. It's a minefield conversation. We could talk about that for half an hour. But I think from my point of view, the ethics of mass surveillance and the way that that works to either improve people's lives or, in fact, to do, you know, really destructive things to people. It's kind of, you know, we've got two sides of a coin there, haven't we? And it's whilst we need all this, and we have to have defense, because if we don't have defense, then we're not going to manage to sort of stop the advancing threats, right, from us going to, you know, this is it. And it's just pretty awful, really. But let's flip to positive things now, right? Mm-hmm. So you've mentored thousands of young founders, right, over the last, I don't know how many years, decades, right? What are they building right now that the West has no idea is happening over there in India?
Well, that's a very interesting and very important question for you to ask. Because, you know, the fact is that because of the multilingual system in India, where there are so many languages, so many cultures, so many different kind of people, the diversity is mind-boggling. So the government has made the foundational aspect of any AI infrastructure keeping the multilingual stack as the real frontier. So Sarvam AI is working towards a sovereign AI ecosystem built on India's wide-ranging culture and linguistic diversity. They have already released a domain-specific agriculture model which enables farmers to connect in different languages. Similarly, India is known for frugality, just like it is known for doing cheap work in information technology. So frugal AI is the design philosophy. Just like DeepSeek came and people got so psyched out that how are they giving you a 90% plus kind of comparable product with such low resources. So, you know, the Indian government's philosophy is the same, that if we don't have compute power, we better have the smartest algorithm. And we should have a capability to use existing semiconductors to derive the maximum out of it. And this is typical Indian thinking, which is called Jugaad. Jugaad is a thinking which says that make it work somehow.
Right.
And, you know, for 140 million farm holdings, agriculture technology is, you know, going to work at a scale which it is difficult to even imagine. Like, there are startups like Fussel, which are deploying IoT sensors, predictive modeling, and AI-powered micro-weather forecasts. Similarly, in healthcare diagnostics, there is Niramai, which uses AI-powered thermal analytics to offer non-invasive, radiation-free breast cancer screening. And the identity plus AI layer has been built on the India stack, which I just mentioned, the biometric through Aadhaar and the digital payments through UPI. And there is a DigiLocker system where all the know your customer information can be stored in DigiLockers. So you don't have to worry about authenticating yourself at any stage with any technological product. So these things are really pushing the case for a strong Indian AI. But, you know, I will tell you that there are some downsides to it as well. For example, India, you know, is using Western AI foundational models like ChatGPT, Claude, and others, actually in the hands of the Americans. Like, you know, they might decide one day that they want to double the price of it, or maybe triple the price of it. They might say that the alternative models from China, India will not use because of strategic reasons. So, you know, in such an eventuality, India will pay the price for using American products at this scale.
Right.
Then, you know, the data, you know, our data, Indians are very, very responsive. You know, we comment a lot, we talk a lot, we give our viewpoint a lot. That throws a lot of data. Now, the American companies love this data because it's coming from a billion users.
Right.
So our data is not staying in India. It is staying in foreign shores. That is the other downside. The third thing is that Indian IT is pretty strong. We have a export of Indian IT services worth $350 billion every year. The moment right now it is looking as if the AI will start killing the workforce, because more and more AI trainers, local language data collectors, AI auditors, India needs so many of them. But the moment you start adopting them, your untrained workforce has to be let go. You know, you have to let go of them. And, you know, with a population which India has, letting go of even 100,000 people is not good politically. So that is another downside. Then there are other risks like spying risks. And, you know, you saw that Khamenei, the Iranian leader, was killed because Israel was able to take control of the CCTVs in the capital. So the Indian government is replacing 900,000 CCTVs, which are of Chinese origin.
And, that's a great idea. It's a huge risk. Huge risk. Yeah.
And, and you know, ultimately, you know, if you are using a particular product, our voice needs to be heard. And, you know, for Indian voice to be heard, the foundational models ultimately have to be Indian as well. This we saw in a recent war which happened between India and Pakistan, where the Americans denied the use of GPS technology to India during that war. So then, you know, we need to create our own GPS system as well, like Chinese have done with Baidu. So we are doing it. It's called Navic. It's in process. But, you know, this just shows that how important it is to not be in control of systems which are, you know, based in other countries as a matter of prudence and as a matter of strategy.
Right. Yeah, it makes absolute sense because anything can happen in this world. It's like the Wild West now. We're at a point where I think governments must take control of their own AI systems, or they're going to basically, they're just always going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? And it's, you know, a lot of people say, well, LLMs are not very good. They can't do this, that, and the other. But actually, the capabilities that we have since the last time we spoke, when we were both probably playing with AI systems 5 or 6 years ago, you know, I mean, it started out with these article spinners, like maybe 10, 15 years ago, you could go and you could spin an article, you could copy an article, it would spin it, it would swap the words out. Then it progressed to this LLM, which was created 6 years ago. And now we're at a point where we can be really specific as to what we want with these. But LLMs are just one part of this, right? When you've got image analysis, you've got video creation, you know, it's quite insane, really. So
I mean, the moment we, you know, 5 years back, these things were not there at all. They've just got like to mind-boggling levels.
Yeah, it really has. So India hosted a global AI summit in Delhi in February with the slogan "People, Planet, and Progress." Right? Do you think that that really means something, the slogan, or was it some sort of diplomatic theater that they were doing?
Well, the earlier summits were in Bletchley, in Seoul, and in Paris. And the government wanted to, you know, with this government particularly, they have always spoken about leadership of the South. And South means all African countries. South means, you know, all South Asian, Southeast Asian, you know, the countries, so to say, which have really not become developed as of now. So it was the first summit which happened in a South-South country. You know, if you look at it technically speaking from a summit perspective, then, you know, the declaration actually got both US and China to sign on the declaration, right? And the previous summits were not able to. And this declaration was adopted by 91 countries.
Wow. And, that's impressive. That's very impressive. So this declaration is really focusing the world on improving people's lives, improving the world, right? That sounds quite interesting, actually.
There are more things to it. Like, the conversation, the government wanted to move the conversation from risk to impact. A broader shift and, you know, a focus away from safety aspect of AI to governance, practical governance and implementation aspect. And almost $200 billion worth of commitments, investment commitments were announced. And I'm sure like these commitments are always on the higher side. But I'm sure even if 20% of that comes, then it is a good number. Like, OpenAI partnered with the Indian Tata Group for large-scale data center capacity. Anthropic signed a strategic agreement with Infosys, the Indian bellwether IT company. The government also announced that instead of 38,000 GPUs for the India AI mission, we will add 20,000 more GPUs to it, so to say, to build on the Sarvam AI, which foundational model. And India formally joined the Pax Silica, which is US-led technology alliance aiming at building secure semiconductor supply chains. That's when Sarvam AI also showcased India's first truly sovereign LLM. So, you know, it did a lot of good for us, whether it matched up to the, to the level at which NVIDIA works or OpenAI works. Of course, you know, it would not have matched to that level because the kind of money these guys are putting in is crazy to match for right now a country which is one-fifth the size of US.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is literally crazy, but it's like you're doing something which sounds really quite interesting. It sounds innovative and you are ahead. You know, you're ahead of a lot of places in the IT world, right? And you as an individual have so much knowledge when it comes to what's going on globally. So I think that's quite amazing. The cross-pollination between the US, India, Europe, China is very interesting. It's very, very interesting.
Right. You know, I'll give you one small data set. Although India's GDP on the basis of dollars is only about $4.2 trillion, which is about the size of UK, actually. But, you know, on a purchasing power basis, our GDP is $22 trillion, which is almost 70% of the US GDP.
Wow.
So it is like because of the 200 million extremely poor in India, we have a lot of imports. And because of those imports, the rupee is always down. And because the rupee is down, that's why, you know, on a dollar basis, our economy is small. Otherwise, the size of the economy is pretty huge.
Wow, that's interesting. I mean, I think over the coming years, it's going to be certainly something to keep an eye on, right? I mean, you can't ignore 1.4 billion people. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. So you talk about self-engineering, right? That the human inside the founder matters more than the technology. In a world where every founder has the same AI tools, what's left that makes a human being still matter?
Well, you know, it's kind of asking a question the other way. Basically, you want to know what makes a human being matter, which already assumes you are, trying to justify the existence of a human being against a machine, right? I mean, a machine never doubts whether it matters, only humans do. Right. And so that self-doubt is not our weakness. It's the doorway. You know, a human being has to be measured against how alive he or she is. The aliveness, a quality of presence, wholesome consciousness. And that can't be replicated because there is no tool to replicate it apart from probably spiritual practices, meditation, nature walks, and, trying to understand your own self through different practices, some ancient and some new, which are always available for You know, like there is an Indian guru, Osho, and then, you know, he would typically say on this question, he would say that you are asking how to remain useful, which is actually the, you know, language of
that
a slave.
That is pretty much right. Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
But, you know, it is, hammer is useful, right? I mean, a calculator is useful. But a human being who's truly alive is not useful. They are creative, which is something else entirely, right? So, you know, there is another spiritual lady, Sister Shivani, and she says that wherever you go, it is the quality of your energy which you carry into every decision. And AI can give you the right answer, but it cannot give you the right intention. Intention is not a small thing. It is the invisible architecture behind everything you build. And so, you know, in a way to say that understanding, being in total consciousness allows you to see things as they are. And that quality cannot be replicated through technology. That is a human quality which comes from being a part of nature and being a part of the universe, the overall consciousness. This is what I feel about it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So that is basically what Silicon Valley's missed completely, living.
I've heard stories, Nate, like people are facing loneliness and then they want to talk to ChatGPT. But ChatGPT is trained on a data set, right? So it is not trained on consciousness. So it can't give you the answer which a guru can give you, which a preacher, a spiritual advisor can give you. And, you know, what makes a human matter, you know, is a different kind of question if you consider that mattering is not a competition to be won, right? So you know, I'm just trying to address this question from the angle of consciousness and the capability to be as human as possible.
Mattering, though. Mattering is just a massive thing, right? People don't really know what India is doing, right? Like, that's the thing, yeah? Because America is having this conversation. Europe is having this conversation. You know, the UK is having a conversation. Well, I don't know what they're talking about at the moment. But India isn't in the room, right? Visibly. So do you think that the West is sort of not seeing this, like, human approach that India has because they're not sort of vocal about it?
Well, you know, I find this question quite, you know, to me, like, you know, the scale of human engagement in India is staggering, you know, and almost no one in the West can absorb it. Like 100 million weekly active ChatGPT users, making it OpenAI's second largest market after the US and largest number of student users of ChatGPT of any nation globally. You know, the students are deeply integrating AI into their learning lives. And 1 in 8 of ChatGPT's 800 million global weekly users are in India. 1 in 8,
wow.
Which is
wow.
12.5%. And so, you know, what 20% of ChatGPT Android app downloads have come from India. So the usage is humongous. Probably what you mean to say by your question is that you know, we are missing from the foundational infrastructure. So, but, you know, let me tell you, because our IT workforce is humongous, it's millions, the kind of apps which Indians are creating on the underlying basis of these models, it is mind-boggling. It has right. use cases from, like, every aspect of life. 80% of employees, they report using AI in their workplace on a regular basis. And the US is about 50%. This is from Stanford AI Index 2026. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even in the LinkedIn's relative AI skill penetration index, India leads the world at 3.0, meaning AI skills appear in Indian professional profiles 3 times the global average.
Wow.
So ahead of US at 2.0 and Germany at 1.8.
Wow.
And so adoption is huge. I'm sure that foundational things will also follow. And the talent pool is also huge. 50,000 plus researchers, this is just behind the US at 220,000 researchers. and ahead of Germany at 48,000 researchers.
Wow. Do you think it's something to do? Do you think it's because there are so many people there, or do you think it's because of the nature of the people that they're quite competitive when they
actually
compared to other
our families,
countries,
you know, our families are always pushing you to learn. Knowledge is like something which the Indian family will really toast and grill you that, you know, learn more, learn this, learn that. And, you know, everybody I know, you know, amongst my family members, friends, everybody is doing something or the other, learning something or the other. So the education is a part of the family upbringing in India. You have to learn, you have to, because, you know, you have to achieve and you have to do, you know, be successful. And the way ahead is through learning and education. This is the whole motive of the Indian family.
Right. And that's how I live like that myself, you know. If you're not learning, you're not growing, right?
And you are learning even now. We were talking about it before.
I mean, I just learned so much from this conversation. And I will, when I edit it, I will listen to what you said again and I will learn more and more, right? Because there's so much to unpack here. So,
thank you.
I mean, look, my belief on this show that trust and human connection are the real moat in the age of AI, right? We're totally aligned on that. And it's not the size of the model. It's not, you know, it's not who people are. It's what they actually do, right? So from where you sit, was there sort of anything else that you'd like to add about what's going on out there that you think people should know in the world?
Well, one thing is that trust as a moat is not in technology. It is what happens when technology fails and when two products are functionally identical. When an AI customer service agent gives the same answer as a human, you still prefer the human. Because, you know, not because the answer was better or something like that, but being heard by a human gives you a different, you know, it registers differently in your nervous system. It releases some hormones in you, which probably they will not release if you are talking to a technology. So, the humanness to it, the aliveness to it, the consciousness to it, the team building, the team building spirit behind it. And, you know, the feeling of being a part of something, being a part of a community or doing something together, those things are intensely personal and they are part of each and every human being, and they can not be replicated through the use of technology. So, you know, the most human connection in commercial contexts are not deep, right? You know, somebody, your relationship manager sitting and talking to a client, there is no depth to it, right? It is a process. So, but when we are talking to a guru or a mentor or a preacher or a spiritual person, then we are talking about life itself. Why are we here? And that is something, you know, that exploration is individual to each person, because each person is at a different level of consciousness based on what he or she has experienced till now. So they also have to grow to a higher consciousness for them to be blissful and happy with life as they have lived and as it has come to them, and so that they can move to a better consciousness, delivering more to humanity, not only receiving but also giving. And that for me is, you know, that for me is not replicable in any which way.
I'm just nodding away because it's totally like I totally agree with all of that. It's because we're all totally different, right? Like based upon where we lived, our education, our upbringing, our location, all of these things. But at the core of it all, we are very similar. Can't thank
Have
you enough,
day.
Tushar.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.